I want to discuss this evening a topic which is, I'm sure, on many of our minds, and that is aspects relating to Tisha B'Av, not only because, of course, Tisha B'Av is next week, but I also want to talk about it because the start of this sugya I actually began when I was in yeshiva, and I've kind of developed it a little bit since then. I've given this shiur in previous Gilgulim a couple of times, but we got some new stuff to add tonight, so I'm looking forward to sharing it together with all of you. I think that if we were to instinctively be asked what day we would most closely associate with Tisha B'Av in the Jewish calendar, most of us would probably say Yom Kippur. Thank you. Yom Kippur shares much with Tisha B'Av in terms of some of the things that we do. And what I'd like to discuss this evening is I'd like to compare and contrast the days of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Are they really as similar as we think they are? And if they're not so similar, why do they seem so similar? And really, some of the things that we do, I think, serve as the springboard for discussion. What are some of the things that Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av share with one another? The five inuyim, okay, the five things we're not allowed to do. What else? Tefillah? Well, we do daven on both of those days, that is true. So there are lots of things. We're gonna get through some of them this evening, but it's just as a kind of as a launching pad, the Gemara in Pesachim is really says it the way we would think it would be said, which basically says Ein bein Tisha B'Av liyom HaKippurim ela shezeh sveiko aser vezeh sveiko mutter. There really is no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, the Gemara says. Rather, ela shezeh sveiko aser vezeh sveiko mutter. Sveiko, the Gemara says, refers to Bein HaShmashos. Even that ends up getting rejected because we know that Bein HaShmashos on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, after Shkia, you stop eating and drinking on both. So even that, Ein bein, kind of gets rejected. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are identical in almost all respects. And that's what the Gemara in Pesachim says. Many of the things that they share, the Gemara continues, many of the things that are shared with the two of them, actually, Yom Kippur serves as the reference point for Tisha B'Av. So, Darash Rava, Ubaros Umeinikos, Misanos Umashlimos Bo, as opposed to all the other fast days, so pregnant women and nursing women fast on Tisha B'Av, Kederach Shemisanos Umashlimos B'Yom HaKippurim. Why? Because Tisha B'Av is just like Yom Kippur, and if they fast and they need to be mashma fast, if they break the fast on Yom Kippur, so too, the same would be the case on Tisha B'Av as well. And the Gemara goes on, line after line, constantly referencing Yom Kippur in the context of Tisha B'Av. The Omer Rabbi Lazar, Asur lo adam sheyoshed etzbo b'mayim b'Tisha B'Av, kederach she'asur lehoshed etzbo b'yom HaKippurim. In talking about the Issur Rechitza, we're going to get back to this point a little bit later, in talking about the Issur Rechitza on Tisha B'Av, how does the Gemara formulate the prohibition to wash oneself on Tisha B'Av? By telling you, everything that you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, you're also not allowed to do on Tisha B'Av. What are you not allowed to do insofar as the Issur Rechitza is concerned on Tisha B'Av? Afilu lehoshed etzbo b'mayim. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Kippur. So too, you're not allowed to do that on Tisha B'Av. So we see in a number of different places, the Rambam formulates against what we just saw in the Gemara. The Rambam points out that Bein HaShmashos is usher by both. In the second source, on the page of the two introductory sources, the Rambam Hilchos Tanios Perek Hei, in discussing the laws of Tisha B'Av, says that actually Bein HaShmashos is usher on Tisha B'Av, just like it is on Yom Kippur. Ubein HaShmashos Shelo usher Ki Yom HaKippurim. The Rambam didn't need to say Ki Yom HaKippurim. We know what Bein HaShmashos is. We know what it means that a fast is usher starting at Shkia. Those extra words didn't need to be there. The Rambam is trying to tell us something, that actually Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are closely linked. So, we could pack up and go home and everything would be great, of course, but that's not really fully true, because it doesn't really fully sit well. Even though many of the things that we do on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur appear to be the same, we could also instinctively intuit that even though some of the nihugim might be the same, the goal, the purpose, the mission on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur are markedly different. So if I were to ask you, what's our goal in doing all of these things on Yom Kippur, what would you tell me? On Yom Kippur? Kapara. What else? All these things aren't directly related to kapara.
Being more spiritual.
And indeed, in many of the formulations, when we look at how the halacha, both in Torah Shebaal Peh and the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Poskim, how they formulate many of these things, the words that keep popping up is exactly that. Doma l'malachei asharis. Over and over again, that's what we see. So, if you look, for example, at source number 2, the Medrash and Devarim Rabbah, which discusses this point, with this again, B'shasha ala Moshe l'amarom. I've recently started a kind of interesting project. I'm trying to go through all the Midrashim that start B'shasha ala Moshe l'amarom. There's like a few dozen of them, and it's like a lot went on up there in Har Sinai when Moshe went up to get the Torah. So there's a lot to talk about that. But anyway, B'shasha ala Moshe l'amarom. Shama malachei asharis shayu omer l'Kadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso le'olam va'ed. Moshe Rabbeinu heard that the malachei asharis were saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso le'olam va'ed. V'horidos al Yisrael. And he brought that down to Klal Yisrael, the Baruch Shem. He brought it down. V'lama ein Yisrael omer osel b'far hesiel. Why don't we say that out loud? So this remarkable line in the Medrash. Why? Amar Abasi l'mahad aradome l'echad sheganav kuzmin mitoch paldin shamelach. Someone who steals like this precious thing from the treasury, from the palace of the king. Nosna lo l'ishto, and he gives it to his wife. V'omar lo, al tiskashti baba farhesya ela b'soch b'secha. Right? This is like precious jewel that I've given you that I've stolen. Don't wear it out in public. Just wear it in the house. Kind of odd that the imagery that the Medrash is trying to evoke about our possession of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Olam Va'ed, the Medrash is saying is like we've kind of stolen that from the Malachi Asharis. And be that as it may, it's for a different conversation. However, the Medrash concludes, Aval b'yom ha-kippurim shehein nikiyim kemalachi asharis hein omer moso b'far hesya Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Olam Va'ed. The Medrash says that since we're nikiyim kemalachi, not even clear what the word nikiyim means, maybe it's because we're Nikiyim, we're free of sin. Maybe it's because we've shed all the worldly pleasures and we're kind of elevating ourselves towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. Be that as whatever it is, Nikiyim Kemalachei Asharis, and therefore we could say Baruch Shem Kemalachei Asharis. Again, that even exacerbates the question. If it's stolen, why does Nikiyim Kemalachei Asharis make it better? It's really a remarkable medrash. We need to unpack that a little bit better, but again, that's not for now. So, already in the Medrash, we see Nikiyim Kemalachei Asharis. The Rush, in codifying some of the Ma'amari Chazal, points out this exact point. So much of what we do, Ma'amalachei Asharis Yechifei Regel, Ein Lohem Kafotzim, Ein Bohem Achilu Shtia. So just like Malachei Asharis are Yechifei Regel, Malachei Asharis walk around barefoot. And ein lahem kafatzim, they don't move. And ein bohem achilu shtiyah, and they don't eat or drink. And simas shalom beinehem. Wow. Malachi Asharis are united. Just like Malachi Halavai, all our shuls should be united on Yom Kippur. Like the Malachi Asharis. Simas shalom beinehem, unikiyah mikol chet, and they have no sins. Af b'nei Yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim, so too b'nei Yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim, they should be like the Malachi Asharis. We walk around barefoot without shoes on and we don't move too much. And we should be united like the Malachi Asharis. And we don't eat and we don't drink. And we're Nakiya Mikol Chet like the Malachi Asharis. And the Rosh continues, V'nogu litbol Erev Yom HaKippurim, Nakiya Mikol Malachi Asharis, that actually the minog to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is because of this exact point. The Rosh injects the Malachi Asharis idea into the minhag to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. Again, all because Nikiyim Kemalachei Hasharis. And many of the other practices that we do also with Shulchan Aruch in discussing the minhag to wear Big Day Lavan on Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch says, why do we wear a kittel on Yom Kippur? There are lots of great reasons given why we wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. The Ramah says, the reason why we wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, Yeshakasu Shinagu Lilbosh Begadim Levanim Nikiyim B'Yom Kippur, Dugmas Malachei Hasharis. The reason why you wear white is because the Malachi Asharis wear white. I'm not sure exactly how the Ramah knew that Malachi Asharis wear white, but apparently he did. And so we wear white, just like the Malachi Asharis. And that's what the Ramah says. Of course, there are other reasons given also. The kittel is a fascinating piece of lore, and all sorts of different reasons given. as to why we wear it. Some say it's the opposite, that it's the tachrichin again, but the details and the nuances of that are not for now. So we see that much of what we do on Yom Kippur in terms of the inuyim, where we withdraw from the physical world, are for the sole single purpose, the singular purpose of achieving a state of spirituality, of closeness and intimacy with the Ribono Shel Olam, kimalachei asharis. And that's what we're seeking to do on Yom Kippur. It's pure, unadulterated godliness. That's what we're looking for on Yom Kippur. So we shun all the physical pleasures, and we walk around barefoot like the Malachi Asharis, and we don't move too much, and we don't speak too much, all because we're seeking to be like the Malachi Asharis, to be spiritual beings, close to the Ribono Shel Olam on Yom Kippur. And when we consider and reflect upon Tisha B'Av, we actually arrive at the exact opposite conclusion. Tisha B'Av is a day where the focus of the Inuyim is what? Mourning. Avelus. So, we have the Brisa in Maseches Tainis, in source number 5, which is a very peculiar Brisa, which we'll discuss in a little greater depth in just a minute. Tana Rabbanan, in source number 5 at the bottom, Kol Mitzvos HaNoagos Be'Avel, Noagos B'Tisha B'Av. The Brisa says, right, Brisa is Koveya, any minhag, anything that an Avel has to do, so too is done on Tisha B'Av. Aser b'achilu ishtia, uvesicha, uvenilas asandel, uvetash b'shamita, etc. Of course, the obvious question is, that's a little bit less obvious, but also a great question. Those aren't mitzvos. Maybe nihugim, mitzvos losase, an even more penetrating question than that. What about it? There's no Isser Achila for Avelim at all, at any point in the entire process. In fact, the only food-related halacha that exists by Avelim is a Chiyuv Achila, right? An Avel has a Chiyuv Seuda when they get back from the cemetery. It's a Seudas Havra. So, it's kind of odd that in formulating the halachos of the practices regarding Tisha B'Av, the Brisa says, everything that you do for an Avel, you do for Tisha B'Av, and begins the list with Achilu Shtiyah. It's very odd. Let's get back, well, let's hold that point. We'll get back to that point, but for the purposes of this moment, let's note that it's clear that what the Gemara in Tainus is trying to tell us is the thrust of the Inuyim on Tisha B'Av is Avelus. Right? Not like Yom Kippur. And so, ooh, not two-sided, okay, it's all good. So, if you look at source number 6, the Maseches Sofrim, Chazal say a very similar sort of idea. Again, where we are at this point is kind of compiling and cataloging some of the different sources about the Inuyim in relation to Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, and noting the difference in the thrust and the mission and the purpose and the goal of the Inuyim on each particular day. We've noted that Yom Kippur is mostly about Malachi Asharis, and we are in the process of developing that Tisha B'Av is about something else entirely, much more about Avelus. So listen to this fact. Let's take a look at this fascinating, this wild passage in Maseches Sofrim. Hakorei b'Tisha B'Av. Listen, take a look. Listen to all these things that we don't do. The Maseches Sofrim says you should do on Tisha B'Av. Hakorei b'Tisha B'Av. When you read the Torah on Tisha B'Av, you should start bracha. You say Omer Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. Okay. I'm not sure if the Maseches Sofrim means this in addition to the regular Birchas HaTorah, or if this should take the place of Birchas HaTorah, but you should say Baruch Dayan Ha'emes, which we know is the bracha that you normally make when you tear Kriya on a mace. You say Baruch Dayan Ha'emes, V'yeshim Anichenes HaTorah Al HaKarka V'Askilos Shchora. There are some people who actually have the minhag to put the Sefer Torah on the ground and wrap it in black shrouds. The Omrim Nafla Teres Roshenu, and you should say Nafla, the crown of our head has fallen, and the signs that you see in Mea Sharm whenever someone really, really big gadol dies, it's always Nafla Teres Roshenu. So Alachas Kama Makama on Tisha B'Av, Nafla Teres Roshenu, and that's what you should go around saying. The Korin Umaspidin Ke Adam Shemesa Mutilofanav, and you should tear Kriya, and you should give eulogies just like Adam Shemesa Mutilofanav. Again, all these formulations are very evocative. They're the same formulations from the context of Avelus. You should walk around ke'odom shemei somut l'fanav, like a person who is mei somut l'fanav, who has their dead relative sitting before them. V'yesh mishan es makomon. There are some people who change their makom and shul on Tisha B'Av, which is straight up Avelus. V'yesh yordin misafsalein lamata or lamita. There are some people who come off their bench and sit on the floor. The kulam mispalshin be'efer. Everyone puts some ashes or rolls around in or puts some ashes on be'efer in the dirt of the ashes on their head. B'shas akinos, and while you're saying kinos, usher l'saper dover v'lotzis l'chutz, you're not allowed to talk and you're not allowed to leave when you say kinos. K'dei shelo yivsak libo min ha'avel, min ha'avel. So that you not lose focus from the mourning that you are doing. The culture came lasuach in goy. All the more so, you shouldn't have a conversation with a Gentile. We have nothing against Gentiles, nothing against non-Jews, but we understand the purpose why Masecha Sofrim would say that. Again, think about Adam b'shash mesa mutil afanav. Right when you've lost your loved one, you're standing around the mace with your family, with your closest relatives. You don't want a stranger coming in and breaking the mood in that context. You want to be with the people who you love. You want to be with your family. We're mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not we have a problem with a Gentile. We want to maintain focus. We want to maintain focus on the Avelus. And you maintain focus on the Avelus by being with the people that you love. B'shah Shemesa Mutu Lefanav. And that's what Masecha Sofrim is trying to teach us and tell us. It's all about Avelus. And that's kind of where it all comes from. Tamid Chachamim, the Rambam says, "Ein nosen zel del shalom b'tisha b'av." It's interesting. We kind of all do that. We don't do she'el shalom. The Rambam formulates this halacha as applying specifically to Tamid Chachamim. Ela yoshvim davim v'ne'anochim ka'avelim. What's the reason why you don't say hello to people on Tisha B'av? Because who does that? Avelim do that. So we don't do that on Tisha B'av. And there's no, the Magen Avraham says, there's an Isser Malacha on Tisha B'Av. Why is there an Isser Malacha on Tisha B'Av? Because there's an Isser Malacha for Avelim, right? Kedeshul Yasichu Daitan Meha Avelus. So again, we see over and over again that this is the case regarding Tisha B'Av. As is so often the case, when there are things that are very, very, very similar, you can kind of crystallize and better capture the difference between them by coming up with the differences that exist. So one of the few differences that exists is, at least according to the Rambam, the halacha of sicha. So we'll just use that point about sicha to bring out this fundamental difference that we've been saying up until this point in sources 9 and 10. The Rambam, in formulating the prohibition of sicha, anointing oneself, on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, points out, at least according to him, that the halacha is different by the two of them. And so in source number 9 in Hilchos Shvi'as also regarding Yom Kippur, what does the Rambam say? Asur lasuch miktas gufo kechol gufo, bein tzicha shel tanug, bein tzicha she'ena shel tanug. The Rambam says that anointing oneself on Yom Kippur is asur, whether you are anointing yourself for pleasure, or you are anointing yourself not for pleasure. Not clear exactly what tzicha she'ena shel tanug is, maybe some sort of medicated tzicha. We're not going to get into the difference between those things now. But suffice it to say, according to the Rambam, even Sicha She'ena Shel Tanug is Asur on Yom Kippur. However, the Rambam makes explicit in Hilchos Ta'anios that the Isur Sicha on Tisha B'Av is merely Asur B'Sicha Shel Tanug. Doesn't mention Sicha She'ena Shel Tanug. What's the reason for this? Why does that distinction exist? Don't all jump at once, guys. Why on Yom Kippur is there an Isser Sicha? Bein Latanug, Bein La'ena Shel Tanug? What's your name?
Daniel
what? Daniel Gutman, why?
Because on Yom Kippur we're doing it for to make it on a spiritual level.
And therefore?
And therefore we're not going to anoint, because anointing is much more,
It's a physical thing. Malachi Asharis don't anoint, whether it's Latanug, right, as opposed to Tisha B'Av.
Tisha B'Av is for mourning.
Exactly, right? Beautiful. So in this distinction where we see beautifully that the same inuyim lead us to two markedly different moods, postures, if you will, on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. On Yom Kippur, it's kind of about Nikiyim Kimalachi Asharis, godliness, intimacy with the Ribono Shel Olam, closeness, angelic abstinence, if you will, Nikiyim Kimalachi Asharis. And on Tisha B'Av, it's about distance, detachment, estrangement from the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and Avelos. We seek to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, we're mourning for something, and so therefore, we engage in many of the Nihuyei Avelos. Thus ends part one of the Shir, where we've, I think, successfully developed the notion that the Inuyim, although very similar, almost identical, on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, they forgot to take out my sheet of notes. On Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, they actually are meant to achieve drastically different goals. Nikiyim Kimalachi Asharis on Yom Kippur, Avelos on Tisha B'Av. Which kind of leads us to one fundamental question. If that's the case, that the moods on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur are meant to be so drastically different, why are the days so similar? It kind of doesn't really make sense at first glance that all of the same things that we do on one day, we would do on the other day to achieve two completely different postures, two completely different moods. One is the apex of spirituality. One is the apex of distance from the Kaddish Baruch Hu. How are these two things meant to evoke so different moods? Why do we engage in these kind of ideas in that way? And maybe what we're left, I guess, the follow-up question, which is, if it's the case that we are so, that the goal and the purpose and the mission of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are so different, let's go back to where we started. Why is the reference point for Tisha B'Av and the halachos of Tisha B'Av so often? Why is the reference point Yom Kippur? If you woke me up in the middle of the night and you asked me, what should the halachos of Tisha B'Av mirror? What would I say? The laws of Avelos. That should be ground zero. That should be square one. The first place that I look to determine how we would formulate the laws of Tisha B'Av, I would think that we would look to the laws of Avelos. And yet, so often, we're gonna make a list in just a second. So often, time after time after time after time, starting with the Gemaras that we started with in Pesachim, so often the reference point that Chazal used to formulate the Drabanan Yontif or the Drabanan Day of Tisha B'Av wasn't Hilchos Avelos. It was Yom Kippur. So as different as they are, we are inexorably led to believe that they actually are similar in some way. Why are they so clearly linked and so clearly connected if they are so drastically different? Yes. Very good. What does that mean? Okay. Okay, so so that's a great point, and let's develop that point a little bit in just a minute. First, what I want to do is actually go through some very quickly a couple of areas where it's clear that Yom Kippur is the launching pad from which Tisha B'Av is formulated. First of all, the Bryce and Tynus that we said before. If it was clearly Hilchos Avelos, which was the source for the halachos of Tisha B'Av, then the concept of an Isser Achila altogether doesn't make any sense. Right? And which is probably why the Rush, in source number 11, under the line, when the Rush codifies that Brisa, what does he conspicuously leave out? Achilushtia. The Rush takes that out. Okay? So, Tanur Rabbanan Kol Mitzvos Anogos Be'av Anogos Tisha B'Av Aser Berechitza V'Sichininos Asandal, and he leaves out Achilas Shtiyah because the Rush knew, like we all did, that Achilas Shtiyah is not Aser Be'avel. Clearly, the reference point for the Rush, and you don't even need the Rush for this, it's obvious. Clearly, the The access point for the Isser Achilu Shtiyah on Tisha B'Av is Yom Kippur, not Avelos. Exactly. I don't have a good answer for you, other than the Rush knew that the Gemara, as it's formulated, couldn't be true, right? If you ask me how you would read the Gemara, maybe we'll get back to this a little later. If you ask me how you would say, Kol mitzvos shenogos ba'avel nogos b'tishu b'av, period. Paragraph break. End. And then the next line is also b'achilosh, right? But it's a tough read, right? So the Rush takes it out because the Rush knew that that couldn't have been. I don't know if he had a different girsa or what, but we understand why the Rush would take it out, right? Let's leave it at that. So number one, the Isser Achila altogether. Okay, that's clearly a non-Avel point and a yes Yom Kippur point. Number two, when does the fast of Tisha B'Av start? Right, the night before. Okay, that is a characteristic that is shared by one other fast day and only one other fast day, and that of course is Yom Kippur. The Rambam says clearly in Hilchos Taniyos, almost all fasts, even communal, even Taniyos Tibur, almost all fasts begin the morning of. Even the fasts which are instituted on the Kahal because of rain, almost all of them begin the morning of. It's only Tisha B'Av that is not like that. And as we pointed out earlier, the Rambam in Halacha Zayin, the second source that we read, the Rambam makes it clear that the reference point for that, for Tisha B'Av, was Yom Kippur. U'mafsikin mibe'od yom ki yom ha-kippurim, the Rambam says. So there too, we're using Yom Kippur as the reference point. We noted the Isser Sicha before, how they're different, but let's talk about the Isser Rechitza. There is an Isser Rechitza on Yom Kippur, and there is an Isser Rechitza for an Avel. Again, based on our thesis from before, you would expect that the Isser Rechitza, as formulated in the Halacha on Tisha B'Av, should be similar to the Isser Rechitza of Avelus, and not the Isser Rechitza of Yom Kippur. And yet we find the exact opposite to be the case. The Halacha says clearly that an Avel is usur to wash miktzas gufo is mutter to wash miktzas gufo b'chamin, the kol gufo b'tzonin. An Avel is allowed to bathe part of their body in warm water and their entire body in cold water. That is mutter. And yet, as we noted in the Gemara Pesach Mandafin and Dalid, and is codified in the Halacha by all the poskim, Tisha B'Av is similar to Yom Kippur. Afilu lahoshit etzba achas b'mayim. Can't even stick one finger in the water on Tisha B'Av. Like Yom Kippur and not like Avel. Right? So that's already three things on the list. Where we clearly could have gone like Avelus, and instead we go like Yom Kippur. The Rambam Hilchos Avel Perakei, just a couple more points. The Rambam Hilchos on this idea. The Rambam Hilchos Avel Perakei, in discussing the Isser Ne'ilas HaSandal, this source is on the page in number 12, talks about the Isser Ne'ilas HaSandal for an Avel and provides a very important exception or caveat or limitation, if you will, to the laws of Ne'ilas HaSandal for an Avel. The Rambam concludes the Halacha by saying, Haya Baba Derech, Noel V'Holich, Uksheh Yikanes V'Medina Choletz Min Olav. The Rambam says that if a Avel is going out on a journey, you put your shoes on. Not a problem. Holich baderech, haya baba derech, noel v'holich. And yet, this caveat is completely left out of Hilchos Tisha B'Av. The Rambam feels the need to reformulate the Isser Ne'ilas HaSandal, but leaves out this qualification of Avelus, and he similarly leaves it out on Yom Kippur. Of course, the idea that you'd be going on a journey on Yom Kippur is much less likely than for an Avel, but in light of all the other evidence, it's clear that the two halachot, the Isser Ne'ilas HaSandal on Tisha B'Av, is less like Avel and more like Yom Kippur. Finally, one glaring halacha, if you ask any community rabbi who deals with Avelus, one of the most important halachos to know, not just community rabbis, anybody. One of the most important halachos to know about Avelos is Miktzas Hayom Kekulo. That part of the day is like the whole day, which is why on the last day of Shiva, the Avel, that, you know, kind of you daven Shacharis, and then the Avel sits for 5 minutes, then Avelos is over. Because Miktas Yom Kekulo, so long as you've observed part of the day, it's as if you've observed the entire day. The Otzer HaGaonim in Tainis records a machlokes between Rav Hai Gaon and the Anshei Mitzrayim about this point. The Anshei Mitzrayim wanted to say about Tisha B'Av, Miktas Hayom Kekulo, that you should observe part of the day, maybe till Chatzos, and then that's it. Very interestingly, parenthetically, the some of the tshuvot of the conservative movement in dealing with Tisha B'Av in the last few decades have used this view of the Anshei Mitzrayim as a source for mitigating some of the prohibitions of Tisha B'Av. They say that it's an option to only observe Tisha B'Av till Chatzos, Miktas Yom Kekulo. Of course, in doing so, they're neglecting the fact that for 1,000 years we've been noheg not like the Anshei Mitzrayim, but like Rav Hai Gaon. But be that as it may, that's a machlokes in Rav Hai Gaon and the Anshei Mitzrayim. Now, it's remarkable that the Anshei Mitzrayim would say that, but it makes a lot of sense. If it's really about Avelus, then why don't the laws of Avelus apply? Miktas Yom Kekulo. Why not? Right? Elamai. Oh, and Rav Hai Gaon rejects it. Right? No, it should be like Yom Kippur. It should start Banish Mashos and go to the end of the day, just like Yom Kippur. Why? So, over and over and over again, and there are more examples. In the interest of time, we'll save some of the other ones. But over and over and over again, Chazal formulated and created a construct on Tisha B'Av, which was much more similar to Yom Kippur than any day of Avelus. The question is why? What is it here? What are we seeking to do in evoking so much of Yom Kippur on Tisha B'Av to the exclusion of some of the laws of Avelus, which we would think would be much more natural on Tisha B'Av than anything that we do on Yom Kippur? It's like you open the laws of Tisha B'Av, and like the ABCs, it's like we're mourning on Tisha B'Av so we don't eat. It's like 7 seconds into your learning of Hilchos Tisha B'Av, you have a question. It's like we're mourning so we don't eat? That makes no sense. There's no Isra Achila for a mourner. You should have this question 7.5 seconds into your study of the laws of Tisha B'Av. So that took us about a half hour, but we instead of 7 seconds, but we have the question, okay? I think so. Well, let's throw it out there. We have about 10 minutes left. What do you think? Yeah.
You said the tzom maybe is on the churban.
The tzom is on the churban. So it's Avelus, but it's a different type of Avelus. Okay, very good. Well, that's obviously going to be part of it also. We also have, I think the key to the answer, or the beginnings of the answer is what... Excuse me, what's your name? Sorry?
Rochelle Gans.
Rochelle Gans said, which is that that there really are, and this is an answer which was given by the Minchas Chinuch and the Briska Rav, and Rav Soloveitchik says quite beautifully as well in that that sefer that was put out a number of years ago by Rabbi Schachter, The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, the writings of the Rav on Tisha B'Av and Kinos. At the very beginning of the sefer, he formulates this point, that actually Tisha B'Av isn't just a Yom Avelus. Tisha B'Av has two aspects to it. It is at once a Yom Avelus and a Yom Tanis. It is a day of mourning, and it is a day of fasting, and there are different aspects of the day which key in on those two themes. Yom Avelus and Yom Tanis. It's a Yom Tanis, and therefore we could never, it's a Yom Tanis Tzibur, like Tisha B'Av. We could never, says the Rav, begin a Yom Tanis Tzibur in the morning. It's got to be a full day. That's what a Tanis Tzibur is, like Yom Kippur. He actually, it's a beautiful formulation. Normally, you think of Ubros and Menikos, nursing and pregnant women, as having to fast on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur because it's a more stringent fast. That's what I always thought. And the Rav writes beautifully. The Rav says, no, it's because it's a Tanis Tzibur, a communal fast day. And unless there's a Pikuach Nefesh involved, everyone fasts. There's no such thing as a tour for a Tanis Tzibur. You're part of a community. You fast. So there's the Yom Tanis aspect, and he says again all sorts of different rayas. That, you know, mafsikin mi be'od yom, you start the night before, the ubrosume nikos, the concept of the hei inuyim, where do the hei inuyim come from? The hei inuyim come from the fact that we don't eat and we don't drink, and all the five inuyim, the rest of the five inuyim as well, but certainly the fact that we don't eat and we don't drink comes from the fact that it is a yom tanis, other than, yeah.
Similar to Yom Kippur, where we're able to be close to Hashem, we're mourning the fact that it's not exactly like Yom Kippur.
So, very good. So, one thing that for me is left wanting, and I'm not going into all the Rav said, look at those four or five pages, and I took some excerpts of it in source number 14, but look at those starting on page 1 and going till about page 5 of the book, where the Rav formulates beautifully lots of the kind of rayas for this idea that there is a yom tanis, yom avelos. What part of what leaves me wanting in the Rav's formulation is it's somewhat arbitrary. The Rav just says like, oh, there are these two dinim, and some halachos are there, some halachos are there. But like, it doesn't really seem like the two are speaking to one another. The yom avelos and the yom tanis. What I'd like to suggest, or what I think maybe might be kind of along these lines, is exactly what the Rav is saying, but just taking it a step further. That the Yom Tanis and the Yom Avelos are very much connected. And what is it, exactly like I think Oren was saying, what is it, what is the common denominator between Avelos, the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, the Yom Tanis Tzibur, and especially Yom Kippur? What kind of binds all these things together? Well, let's take a step back and ask the following: why do we fast on fast days? Why do we do that? That's actually machlokas rishonim. But the view of the Ran is that all of the dalot somos, each of the public fast days are for avel. We're mourning things. It's avelos. We're mourning things. On Shabbos Batamas, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, we're mourning the calamities that took place on those days. The Rambam, however, in source number, where'd it go? Hilchos Taanios, Perek Hei, number 13. The Rambam says that Yesh Sham Yomim Shekol Yisrael Masanim Bohem V'Pnei Hatzaros She'iru Bohen Kedei Lo'or Halavavos. It's really very interesting because the Rambam just told you why you fast. Right? But then he gives a kedei. So is it a mipnei and a kedei like in the same line, right? He says, Yesh sham yamim shekol yisrael misanim bohem, b'nei hatzaros she'iru bohen, kedei lo'or halavavos v'leftoach darchei hatshuva, v'yez zikaron l'maseh haroim, maseinu haroim, maseh avaseinu shayik maseinu atah, right? All the mistakes that were made, which caused the tzaros that we have now. Right? When we think about these things, what's it going to cause us to do?
Tshuva.
It's going to cause us to do tshuva. For the Rambam, these fast days are yomei tshuva. All of them. These four fast days. And the Rambam, in case we don't know, goes on to list them. Right? In Halacha Beis. Ve'elu hein. Yom Shlishi B'Tishrei. V'Asiri B'Teves. V'Shivas Ar B'Tamuz. V'Chamisha Dvarim Irubo. These, he lists three fasts. In the third, Shivas Ar B'Tamuz tells us all the five things that happened. And then in Halacha Gimel, he says, oh, and also Tisha B'Av. I kind of found that very interesting, that the Rambam would choose to put Tisha B'Av in its own Halacha. I'm not sure how much you can read into that, but the Rambam lists three of the fast days in Halacha Beis and then saves Tisha B'Av for Halacha Gimel. If that was all I had, maybe I wouldn't be able to say much. But in light of all the other evidence we've seen, I think in using Yom Kippur as the model for Tisha B'Av, I think what the Rambam might be saying here is that as a Yom Tshuva, Tisha B'Av here is a little bit different. Tisha B'Av is a Yom Avelos, yes, but what is the Avelos on Tisha B'Av meant to do? The the Avelos on Tisha B'Av is actually not just mourning calamitous things, like it might be on some of the other days. More specifically, like the Avelos on Tisha B'Av is not like mourning calamitous things, like when I lose a loved one, but it's actually something much deeper than that. The mourning that takes place on Tisha B'Av is a mourning which is meant to evoke Yom Kippur. It's a mourning which is meant to bring about a state of tshuva. The Rav writes beautifully in Ala Tshuva, and I put the English translation on the page. There are two tshuvos spoken about, two tshuvot, not answers, two types of tshuva spoken about in the Torah, one in Parshas Vaschanan, which is read right around Tisha B'Av, and one in Parshas Nitzavim, which is read right around Yom Kippur. And the difference in formulation, he says, is actually quite stark. In Vaschanan, it says, Uvikashtem Yishamas Hashem Elokecha Umatzasa, The imagery of the tshuva and vaschanan is one of distance with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ubikashtem misham. You seek out the Kodesh Baruch Hu from there, wherever there is, but you're not with him, you're not near him. And it says umatzasa. It doesn't say that you draw close to God. You're far away and you found God, right? Because you've introspected. You were doresh the Kadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart and all your soul, as opposed to the tshuva of Yom Kippur, which is the tshuva of Lifnei Hashem. It's a tshuva of Vishafta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo. The Rav talks beautifully in the Sefer about why we don't say slichos and avinu malkeinu and all of these things on Tisha B'Av. The reason why we don't is because it's not a day of closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a day of tshuva. But it's a day of tshuva, which is actually meant to be the beginning of the real tshuva process. A recognition, awareness, and understanding of just how far from the Ribbono Shel Olam we are. Without the Beis HaMikdash, we're far. With all the tragedies that have taken place throughout the generations, we're far. We don't know. We don't even know how far we are. And we take Tisha B'Av, it's a day of sasam tefilas, we don't say tachanun, we don't say Avinu Malkein, we don't say Slichos, we don't say any of these things. We don't call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kabel Barachim Merotzon Es Tfiloseinu. That's not appropriate for Tisha B'Av. That's a tefillah of closeness. It's a tefillah of yearning to be close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Before you can yearn to be close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the beginning of the process, and we draw from Yom Kippur, because Tisha B'Av is the precursor to Yom Kippur. These are the 2 days which kind of envelope the entire tshuva process. Is the recognition of just quite how far you are. So there are these two models of a Yom Tainis and a Yom Avelos, but I think they inform one another in much more of a deeper way than kind of the Rav formulates it. The Rav brings all the beautiful rayas, but I think we could say that actually some of the Avelos that we do is actually meant to spur something more, which is a recognition and awareness of where we are. We'll just end off by saying 2 quick points. First of all, it occurred to me today, I thought of this before, but some of the other connections occurred to me today, that the month of Av and the month of Tishrei, the connections run even deeper. In both Av and Tishrei, there is this unit of the 9th and the 10th of the month. In Tisha B'Av, of course, we know that much of the destruction took place on the 10th of Av, not on the 9th of Av. We fast on the 9th of Av, but the destruction really took place on the 10th, because Aschal said the Purnusa Adifa, but it's really and Tishrei also. We fast on the 10th, but you eat on the 9th, it's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. So the 9th and the 10th are like a unit, and the 15th of the month, in both months, is like this special happy day, Tuba of and Sukkot. And finally, it's very interesting that we conclude our Yom Kippur service. There are also kind of shades of Tisha B'Av in Yom Kippur. We mentioned the Asar Harugei Malchus, and we say at the end of davening, we say Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim. Kind of bringing the last thing that we say on Yom Kippur is Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim, bringing it back to the beginning. It's kind of a recognition that the process that concludes on Yom Kippur is Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim. Really began on Tisha B'Av, when we thought about and reflected upon and became aware of just how far we have to come to get to V'shafta Ad Hashem Elokecha. L'shana Haba B'Yushalayim, at the end of Yom Kippur, we can finally be mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a way that we couldn't before. Because now we really mean it, after we've undergone the entire process, to be able to say L'shana Haba B'Yushalayim and mean it, B'chol Lev, B'chol Nefesh, wishing that next year we'll be able to observe Yom Kippur in Yushalayim. So may this Tisha B'Av be the beginning of that Shuvah process, and I wish you all an easy fast, and hopefully a meaningful tshuva process beginning this Tisha B'Av. Thank you very much.